This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, Maple Leafs in action tonight in Calgary. We'll tee that up with Ray Ferraro in about 5 minutes. He will have the call on TSN 4 tonight. Raptors losing badly last night. It was all about Kawhi and everything, but once the game got started, it got ugly. Like, it started, actually, they started pretty well, and then the Clippers shot them down, started hitting shots, and then the second quarter was just a disaster for the Raptors. It was over in the second quarter. They made a push in the third, but in the end, they lost badly last night, and they've lost 4 of 5, and they're 3-8 against teams above 500. These are all concerns. They're not worthy of panic.
Right.
The panel hit on SportsCenter last night. I think Leo Routens hit the nail on the head. It's mid-December. You know, there's still a lot of games left, and they're 16-8. Let's allow some adjustments, some, you know, peaks and valleys. That's right, going to happen. Some Argos news today.
Yeah.
Corey Chamblin is out, and there's no surprise there. I mean, he has not – it hasn't gone so well for Corey.
No.
With the Argos. And Ryan Dinwiddie is in. The 45th head coach in team history. 45. Like, they've been around for over 100 years, but 45 coaches, man. Now, Keefe was maybe the 37th or something Leaf head coach, so I guess they're kind of on par. They've both been around for over 100 years, but 45, that's a lot of turnover.
It is.
And Keefe was the 31st? Okay, so the Argos are really churning them out.
Another 14. Yeah, like that.
I thought they were going to hire Paul LaPolice, but he went to Ottawa.
He's out of here.
He took the Ottawa job.
Yeah, he's not coming here. Dinwiddie was the quarterback's coach in Calgary. So, pinball getting in there and getting his hands dirty. And you knew when he came in with us.
You basically.
And when he said, you asked, what about the coach? And he's like, we have to look at, when someone says, we have to look at every position,
yeah,
that means he's fired.
That was not even cryptic. He might as well just said it on the show.
It wasn't a vote of confidence for Corey Chamblin. No.
Like, when a guy says.
Because you flat out know.
Yeah.
You flat out know. Like, if you say, like, you know, what about the coach? No, he's not going anywhere. Like, you defend him immediately.
Love him. Not on the coach.
This is my job to make.
Give him the players that he deserves. There was none of that coming from Pinball.
No, Pinball knew immediately.
Yeah, I think that, I'm sure Pinball was clearly heavily involved in the decision, but it may have been all the way up the chain. Like, we got to make, the Argos got to make some moves.
Yeah, they got to get
through. You know, it's not good for the Argos.
No.
You know who it is good for, before we get to Ray in the Leaf game tonight and that fight in the Boston-Washington game?
Yes.
Scott Boras, who we talked a lot about Boras yesterday, the super agent in baseball. I think probably the most powerful agent in pro sports. Is there anyone else that
not with that type of money keeps raking in?
No, $800 million negotiated over the last 3 or 4 days. Who's more powerful than that?
Nobody. And he's still got, he's got Rio coming up, Castellanos coming up, and Keiko coming up. But Boras, this week, we're talking about over the course of what, 4 days?
Yeah.
Cole, $324 million. Rendon, $245 million. Strasburg, $245 million. Moustakas got $64 million. Like, Moustakas, he sent a text to him. He's like, yeah, I'll get to you when I – and I'll let you know what you're taking. There's no negotiation.
$64 million.
You don't get FaceTime. You're over there.
That's crazy amount of money. $64 million, and that's at the bottom of the rung.
$878 million total in four players. Like, how much would Boras pull in there?
Well,
what would he get? Probably 1 or 2%.
I'd say 1%. Like, I know in hockey, it's 3% of the first million, and then 1% after that, and you can negotiate. Now, you know, depending on what agency you're with.
Okay, so $878 million. What's he pulling in? $8.78 million right there in 4 days on four
probably
players.
Probably a little bit more than that, but yeah.
Let's say he made $10 million this week.
Yeah.
Just $10 million this week.
His agency, yeah, for sure.
With more players still coming.
Yep.
Wow.
Agents make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They do a good job. Like, this guy does a great job. Like, flat out.
You can hate on him all you want. But the guy, there's a reason Gerrit Cole, 5 minutes after the World Series was handed out, he had a Boris Corporation hat on.
Yes.
Not a Houston Astros hat, not a Gerrit Cole hat.
No, it was
a Boris Corporation.
Yeah, call this guy.
Basically, hey, Cashman, Steinbrenners, New York.
Call me Al.
You can exactly. Call me Al.
Agreed. Agents make
you can call me money. Whatever you want. You want to hand me $324 million? And we were talking about it yesterday with Phillips. 50 grand bonus if he makes the All-Star game. Can you imagine the audacity of saying, oh, and just for the record, the All-Star bonus is
I got to be honest with you. If I was a GM, that's a deal breaker for me. If I'm giving you $325 and you ask for $50K to go to an All-Star game, shove it. I'm not giving it to you. It's honestly a deal breaker.
What if you heard, like, okay, here, just we got Ray, but what if you heard the Blue Jays were like, yeah, we gave him $324, but he wanted a $50K bonus for the All-Star game.
Would you appreciate that?
And you said, no.
If Shapiro said, $324 over nine, we'll give it to you, but no $50, and that's why he went to the Yankees.
I'll take it. I'll salute you.
Get your damn act together.
That's a flat-out, bold-faced lie.
No.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, did you ever have any bonuses in your deals in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, sure. We had bonuses at 20, 30, 40 goals. Make the All-Star team, make the playoffs.
So how would those get negotiated? Like, was it just kind of standard procedure, or would you have to really fight for that?
Well, there was, I think, a pretty boilerplate set, you know, totals for each level of goals. But you had to negotiate them. Back then, you had to scratch and claw for $5,000.
Right.
So, like, it was a big deal to get. I remember one night in Long Island, we were out of the playoffs, and Derek King got his 30th goal. I got my 40th, and Steve Thomas out of left field got 4 and scored 30. And so we were all laughing because, well, of course, we were happy. We made bonus money, but the owners had to kick in about $60,000, I think, or $70,000 for 3 donkeys that weren't making the playoffs anyway.
That's got to be. Yeah, you got. I mean, there's nothing you can do. But if you're an owner, you must be fuming.
You hear stories, Ray. I'm sure you can tell a few too, of guys that are, you know, one. I think O has one. You're one goal away from a $10,000 or $20,000 bonus, and all of a sudden you're a healthy scratch, or you know, you're not playing, or you're not on the power play. Like, you know that the owner has gone to the GM, who's gone to the coach, and said, like, we can't put this guy on the ice. I've had one scenario where I had games played in that, and I was told, we need to change that or you will not be playing any more games this year. It's crazy.
That is so greasy.
Yeah.
But now you can't change the contract, right?
Right.
But back then, I mean, like, I don't know, they could go up to you, right, Noodles, and you're like, well, I don't really have a choice. I'd like to play again this year. It's March.
Well, yeah. I just wonder, like, with Gerrit Cole, like, back then, that was so much money. Not that it isn't today, but for you guys, you know, if you're making $150,000 on the year and you got $20,000 on the line, that's huge.
Huge.
$50,000.
And that's exactly the scenario, Brian.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the dollars that were in play. You're like, man, if I can get 2 more goals, I'm going to get $20,000.
Yeah, that's life-changing at the time. And that's huge money.
And you're telling your line mates, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw Kevin Dineen, our last game in Hartford. He needed one goal for a $25,000 bonus. And Dino Ciccarelli was holding on to the crossbar. There was an empty net. And he stopped the shot with his skates together. And it was like... Well, you have the biggest horror story ever. It's like, dude, just let it go in. Yeah. You suck. You're not making the playoffs. Neither are we. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Bonus? I don't know.
I'll give a positive story. We had 6 games left in the season, or 5, and Joel Quenneville went on the plane and sent a note back with Hal McGinnis. Anybody have any achievable bonuses? And let me know. You know, if it's ice time or if it's plus minus, you know, games played, all of that. And I didn't say a word, but I needed 3 games played out of the 5. And I wasn't going to start 3 because Fierzy was going to play. And Pronger stood up to me and said to Al, like, well, Noodles needs 3 games. And I said, don't worry about it. And Joel heard about it. He goes, you'll get your three. And Grant was sitting beside me. He goes, don't worry, chum. You'll get your three.
No way.
And I got thrown in one game. Like, I got two starts and then got tossed in on one or
something. So it was an appearance.
It was a period. Bonus. Games played in. I think I got I played in 30 that year, and I think it was a pretty decent bonus. So I want to say it was 25 or 50K, something nice.
That's not bad back then, man.
It's pretty cool.
Anytime. But that's Garrett Cole bonus money.
Yeah.
Like Cole's going to get 50 if he makes it to the
I think it was
to the All-Star game.
Like, hey, what about his agent?
Well,
so Scott Boras has negotiated, I think it's $878 million in contracts this summer, or this meetings.
Right.
This meetings.
Right. That's what got us on the conversation. We're just talking about it.
He's not even done yet.
And we thought he was making 1%. Apparently, he makes 5%.
Wow.
So he has personally made, or his corporation has earned, $40.7 million.
Amazing.
From three players, from Strasburg, Cole, and Rendon alone.
That's a good week. And he had Moustakas, too.
He had Moustakas, but he was at $64 million, so he doesn't care about that.
That was peanuts. We'll knock that one off. $64 million.
An intern negotiates that. But they've got Keiko, they've got Ryu, they've got Castellanos. They still got some guys who are going to make some cake.
He's going to sign $1 billion in contracts.
Right.
Crazy.
Yep. And then next year, come back and complain because, one of his clients will have to wait to make $300 million. And he'll rip into the Jays for some reason. It's always the Blue Jays'
wasn't
fault.
Wasn't he last year? He was on the collusion thing, right?
Oh, big time. Leading the charge. No collusion anymore, apparently.
No, it's all been fixed.
Yeah. Did you see that fight with Tom Wilson and Zdeno Chara last night?
Yeah. I don't care if Zdeno Chara is 57 years old. Like, that's got to be terrifying, no?
Yeah,
I have more appreciation for Wilson, and the other guy will be 43 in a few months.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine squaring? And, like, Wilson can go, and he's, of course, he's big and he's young, and you get in there, and he looked like a child fighting him.
And, well, Wilson, I think, started it with the cross check.
Absolutely.
Did he not?
Yeah, I mean, the play was going up ice, so it was kind of tough to tell.
Yeah, the camera panned back. That was two giant men going at it.
That is one of the bigger heavyweight fights of all time.
And you know what, though, Brian? Like, as much as fighting's gone out of the game, there was U.S. news outlets talking about it. Like, it was, we don't focus on it very much. A lot of, like, every sports show had it on as a highlight.
Oh, yeah. You think that's because of Chara, Ray? Like, who he is and his age, his size?
Well, yes, but also the size of the other guy, too. I mean, like, if someone's like, hey, Chara's fighting, and they look at it, it's like two Brontosauruses fighting. Like, look, when they went back to the corner, look at these guys. Enormous guys. I'll tell you, I always looked at those guys. Like, today I walked in the rink, and I walked by Brian McGrath, and I'm like,
Beast
is a monster. He's so big. And I'm like, when those guys would fight, you'd sit there and you'd watch them fight and just, I don't know, I would have in my head, like, how do they do it?
And he loved it.
Oh, right? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I got to go tomorrow. We know this guy's going to, and you're like, oh, no, thank you. I'll worry about getting a power play marker.
No
at some
kidding.
Point.
Crazy. You know what, when I saw that Chara and Wilson fight, did you see that, I think Duthie on Twitter talked, those two mooses fighting,
yes.
Like locking horns and the guy doing the play-by-play. That's all I could think of. It was that type of altercation.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still mooses or buffaloes or something. That was awesome. Yeah.
I think if you were to put, we should do this, calculate like the height and weight of those two last night. I think it'd be tough to find a bigger heavyweight in NHL history, like featuring two guys. Like Wilson, 6'5", 240, 230.
But like
Chara's 6'8".
Yeah. Well, but McSorley.
McSorley,
I was
going to
say, you go back in Semenko and Brashear, and
were they? Yeah,
they were.
They were 6'5", 240, I guess. They were Wilson. Who was Chara?
Ben Wilson. Do you remember Ben Wilson, Ray?
Oh yeah.
These guys, like you go and shake some of these guys, like that Frank Mahovlich, and like guys like that are scouts nowadays.
Yeah.
Pat Quinn, like, think of how big Pat Quinn was.
I know, but Pat was like 6'3". I'm not downplaying the size of these other guys. I guess what I'm saying is in 2019, you wouldn't expect.
You're right.
Like, two monsters.
And chiseled. Like, Tom Wilson is a huge man.
Well, remember the clip when he was playing against San Jose over the weekend, and Thornton's like, you wouldn't fight Kane. And he's like, you don't think I'd fight Kane?
Yeah.
Like, watch this. I'm playing Boston in a few days.
Yeah.
Like, if you fight Char, you're fighting anybody in the league.
Yeah.
Wilson would fight anybody.
I just agree. Think he's 43.
Yep.
Yeah. And had enough, too. Like, I love the fact. Like, Chara, that's a leader. Like, I'm gonna do it myself here. I don't need David Backus to come in here or anybody else. Like, I take exception. That was an emotional fight. That wasn't a staged fight. He didn't like what Wilson did to him, so he took care of it himself.
Yep.
Now, don't forget, last year, that guy played with a broken jaw in the finals.
That is true.
Like, I don't know. I was half expecting him to have one of those strings that went around the top of his head under his jaw and just tied it all together.
Yeah.
And he came out there and they had the cage on him, and you're like, I don't know, man. The guy is an incredible, incredible specimen.
Leafs in Calgary tonight. You're calling that game on TSN 4. You look at the stats since Sheldon Keefe has taken over, and you always assign the power play and the penalty kill to the
right.
assistant coaches,
yeah.
But you know, maybe it's a coincidence. I would assume it's that they're changing things up, but their power play and PK, I believe, over that 9-game run is like the best in the league for both. Like
they're right up.
They're off the charts. I mean, it's not going to continue at that rate, but it's been really impressive.
Well, a couple of changes they did make. Of course, Barry went on to the power play, but if you get a load of what's happening on the power play, is they less and less are becoming. They start in the same positions. Like, they'll start in an area, and as they rotate, it's really fluid, and Marner's ending up at the very top. Like, he's in the quarterback spot, and Barry's shooting the one-timer off one side, and Matthews is on the other. Tavares will move down and move up. It's like they're all over the place. It's really difficult to try and get a handle on if you're a penalty killer. And the biggest change I see penalty killing is they're way more aggressive. Like, they're on the hunt up the ice. They deny the line more aggressively. And it's, I think they've given up 2 power play goals in the 9 games since Keefe took over. And that's, it's a pretty noticeable change in aggression, under Keefe, I would say.
How would you compare the city of Calgary to the city of Vancouver anticipating a Leaf game?
Well, Calgary's a little different. I mean, Vancouver, it's like there's a, you feel it everywhere. I mean, like, I wasn't listening to the radio this morning, or I'm assuming that the Leafs out here is a huge deal anywhere in the West. I think people here are really interested in, A, in the Leafs, but B, because the Flames haven't lost since Jeff Ward's taken over. Like, you got 2 teams that are playing really, really good, and it's exciting. It's like, look, it's an early December game, but it's exciting. And so I would say you'll see more than a smattering of Leaf fans in there tonight, but this should be, Calgary can be a quiet building. This should be a pretty good atmosphere, I would say. Calgary's quieter. Vancouver is usually quiet. I thought that building was pretty loud. Oh, you were right, by the way. There were 600 tickets for sale.
Oh,
were
really?
Unsold.
So it wasn't sold out.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't look. I just didn't look at
Harry Crumb over here.
Yeah.
Picking off 600 people.
Harry Crumb.
When Harry Crumb, John Candy, for those that don't know, got into the jockey silks.
Yes. And he tried to go in the phone booth.
And there are all those mini phone booths. Oh, man.
The best look.
Sorry, last night I turn on the TV. I'm like, okay, what am I going to watch? And I'm going through the guide, and I see Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, that's a must. Yeah.
And so I stop, and right when it comes back from commercial, it's the scene, either just dropping him off at the rental car spot where he looks at, I think it's J5, and there's no car.
Yeah.
And so that's where I picked the movie up. And And he's giving it to that the lady behind the desk. She's going, gobble, gobble.
Oh, yeah.
He just loses it on her.
It's so good. Like, yeah. I saw someone posted, Roger Ebert wrote a review, but like years beyond, like it wasn't the immediate review. I think it was out of 4 stars. He gave it 3.5 out of 4 at the time. But he wrote this review 10, 15 years later saying, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, truly one of the great cinematic features in in history. And just, you got to find it. I'll try to find it and send it to you. But he puts it on a line with Candy and Martin so perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, how well they were cast, how perfectly the
Del
character
Griffith.
Development was.
Shower, what was he, shower ring
salesman. Shower curtain ring division.
Yeah just like, owning it.
I that was
so good.
It's such a great movie. Like it is. And there's so many classic lines. Obviously you can't repeat them on the radio when he's giving it to the lady. Wipe that effing smile off your rosy effing face.
I don't know if you remember, he goes out and he needs a taxi because he doesn't have a rental car. And he says to the guy, I need a taxi. I'm going to Chicago. He goes, you know you're in St. Louis. He's like, wipe that smug grin off your... And the guy drills him in the face.
Yeah.
And then John Candy almost runs him over.
He says,
and so he goes, you apologize to him and help him up. And he picks him up
by his
the
junk.
He's like, oh, I've never seen a guy get picked up by schnutz before.
Oh, my God. That's he's standing best. Over top of him. He's like, I almost squashed your head like a melon. Like, it just, if you look at it's line after line classics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a John Hughes movie, I think.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah, there you go.
You're deep into that.
No, I'm knocking off Harry Crumb references. I'm sure in 2019, those are very relevant. A lot of people that would follow along with that. Anyway, last night, Peter DeBoer let go in San Jose. And, you know, it says something about what we're dealing with in the NHL, that people have to get out in front of it, and they're like, no, 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 it's because of hockey. They can't win games. Like, that's why he was let go. This isn't about abuse. This isn't about anything else. But DeBoer's had a great run there in San Jose. You know, he'll get back into the game at some point, but this kind of feels similar to the Babcock situation, the Berube situation. Like, they feel they got a better team than this. They've invested in a lot of players, and they want to salvage a season.
Well, I think what it also, first of all, I think Pete DeBoer is a good coach. I think he's, you know, you hear from other people around, he's highly regarded, the way his teams play, the way that people play for him. You cannot erase substandard goaltending, no matter how good a coach you are. Last year, they had the worst goaltending save percentage in the league, or second worst, and they were in the Western Conference Finals. Like, that's astounding. How he was able to do that. This year, you look at their roster, and they've got two 40-year-old forwards, and they're not going to be what they used to be. You know, they had to let Joe Pavelski go. That hurts their power play. They altered their, you know, the whole chemistry of – they're not the chemistry. They altered their whole salary structure with signing Evander Kane and then Erik Karlsson. So it's kind of – it's a team in transition that quietly for 20 years has been remarkably – competitive and effective.
I was just going to, sorry to interrupt, Ray. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the time has come in San Jose where they've got some giant hurdles to go through, and maybe they think, you know what, we got to change the messenger here. Maybe that'll help, because you can't change the players now.
No, and I guess when I heard of it yesterday, I understood it, didn't have a problem with it, but at what point is Doug Wilson going to be like, this guy's been there a long time, and yes, they've had a lot of success, but they haven't won a cup. Like, you know, I think the owner is quite content with his body of work, but at some point would the owner not go, okay, well, hold on a second here. Vegas was a first year team. I'm looking at, like,
you just gave Carlson $11 million.
Yeah, you've got a lot of bullets, and you've used them, but at some point, eventually, Wilson's time's going to come up too. It just seems like he's
been
the
GM there for as long as I can remember.
Has he been there 20 years? Like, I'll have to look.
Close, I mean.
But.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
He's quietly done an unbelievable job.
I think so, too.
But I'm sure there will come a time where they say, you know what, we need a new set of eyes on this.
Right. That's kind of, I guess, my point was, at some point, you know, his bullets will dry up because they say, okay, you can't switch the coach anymore. You know, your roster hasn't been good enough, or, you know, you put all your eggs in Martin Jones' basket, and that's, you know, that's been a struggle. Or you gave Erik Karlsson that money, or this and that. Like, at some point, there is going to have to, he may either have to blow it up or turn it over, but he must be intertwined with the owner,
well,
obviously.
How about David Poile in Nashville? The two of them have been there forever.
Poile, I don't think there's been another GM.
No,
other than
Poile
David
was
Poile.
The first day general manager.
Right.
And before that, he did, what, 17 years or something in Washington. Poile's been a GM for like 35 years in
right.
this league.
Yeah.
And he's been a good GM, but never won a cup.
But San Jose's interesting because they, you know, I thought the window was closed, and then they got all the way to the semifinal, or you know, to the conference finals last year.
Right.
And they kind of got, you know, they did catch, you know, pretty enormous break, and they took advantage of it in the series against Vegas. But it seemed like they're getting thinner and thinner, slowly and slowly there. Right. And, you know, and so now you lose Pavelski and, you know, Couture steps up. Sure, that's great. But how do you replace 35 goals? Well, you hope Kane can do some of it. You better, because you paid him a lot of money. And, you know, they've got so much money tied up in Vlasic, Burns and Carlson. Things do have to change there. They've got to change their approach a bit, I guess. But how do you change it when you've got so much money locked up in so few players?
Yeah, that's the conundrum you're dealing with right now.
17 years.
You've been there for 17 years
since
as a GM. That's a good run. All right, buddy, we'll catch you on TSN4 tonight. Leafs Flames should be a fun one.
And last hit for for 2019 tomorrow.
Oh, right. Then you're off to the Czech Republic, right?
Yeah, unless I miss the flight. But yes, that's the goal.
Okay. Well, good luck. We'll do the whole year in review tomorrow.
Me and Ray will be on assignment for the next month.
Oh, I can't believe you're in. What were you, 5-6 hours at it today?
Well, I had to meet with Mark Masters and Bobby and just do a little debriefing on what's been going on.
Who won that game last night?
Yeah, I can't wait to call.
Canada.
They played.
That is correct.
Inner squad game.
That's the answer right there.
Yeah.
Split squad goalies, all the goalies played.
That's a pro's answer right now. Yeah. That's a veteran answer.
Can't wait.
Oh, at least I didn't say Lafreniere. Looking forward to seeing him in the World Juniors.
He was buzzing around last night.
Looked great last night.
Yeah.
He played last year.
Well, that was true. I did that a couple
I
of
know.
Weeks ago.
I had to correct you.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're the expert, man. I'm not on the panel for the World Juniors. I just watch as a fan. It's not my thing. All right, buddy.
Yeah, well, we'll work at it tomorrow. Fill us in tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll do a year-end review tomorrow, Ray, and see what your thoughts are.
I will. I'll get on it. I know you'll have some in-depth stuff. And Hayes, you know, Noodles is always prepared. You just try and keep up, Hayes.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Yeah,
I'll make sure the mic is on.
There we go. That's why you're the host.
Yep, that's why I get paid the big bucks around here. Make sure the mic is on. All right, buddy.
Later.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive a $500 Vaughn Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Rangers, Saturday, December 28th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this former Leaf was a standout high school quarterback before his professional hockey career.
I think I know who it is.
Uncle Rico? Who would that be? Who played quarterback? It's got to be an American player.
Where Uncle Rico said he could throw it over the mountain.
Back in his prime. There's your clue. An Elmer Fudd, the third one, was handed out last night.
Yes, it was.
We'll tell you why next. Day two of the President's Cup ongoing down in Australia, and the Americans.
I could not get enough watching that. I love that. I love the competition. I love Tiger Woods, and I love that golf course.
It looks like a beautiful track. Beautiful track.
Before we're 60, we'll have to get down there and tee it up there.
I love it. Thanks.
They are looking like they...
Well, Tiger pulled his weight. He was dragging Justin Thomas around. He was, like, chipping
in. I find it so weird, though, the playing captain. It's like...
I love it.
Like, other guys must be like, oh, great, Tiger. You paired yourself up with JT, who's just dynamite in any kind of format.
And you go out first, too. So you get the ball rolling.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, he's going to be saying to himself, I got to put myself back in. We're the only team that got a point.
That was shocking. 4-1 out of day one. That never happens. Like, Team World, the international team, gets
roasted. No, they're garbage. Yeah. They haven't won since, like, 97.
And their team, again, they've got, like, Matsuyama's on it. Adam Hadwin played well. They've got good players, but it's not anywhere close to the European team in the Ryder Cup. Like, nowhere close.
No, the Americans cannot beat Europe, and they always dummy the world team. like dummy them.
Well, I mean, it was off to a good start.
Oh, they got their hands full now.
Your boy Ernie Els was happy afterwards, man.
He'll be on a flight and he'll just punch the living crap out of somebody on the way home.
We have to get Mike Commodore on to tell that story. Like Commodore has told it.
Was Commodore on the? He was on the flight.
I don't know if he was on the flight.
Apparently, he knew some guy that took a flight to Europe with Ernie Els, and they had 750 Coronas or something. And Ernie Els has started headbutting this guy and beating the living daylights out of him. It's a bizarre story.
I know it is. I've heard it. And Ernie, I guess that it was just like they dusted it off like it was nothing. Like that's his travel routine.
What was it called? The Scottish handshake?
The Scottish hello or the Glasgow hello or Glasgow handshake? Hello.
Yes.
Just a headbutt right to the bridge of the nose.
So got
apparently old Ernie is a beautician.
He is a beautician. The Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Enjoy all the winter classics at your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Hurry in for great rates and a holiday bonus during the My Subaru Gave to Me holiday event. So here is the Elmer Fudd.
Yes.
This is your Elmer Fudd. I don't know why I'm holding it. Yeah, this is the Elmer Fudd Award for saying half chance during a Maple Leaf broadcast a week ago.
And I'm actually doing a Leaf game next Tuesday against Buffalo. We'll have to come up with a word.
Okay. I think we might have... we've got a couple of different words that we can bring up.
We got to figure out a blistering transition.
Blistering
counterattack.
Yeah, blistering counterattack. You can do that if there's a turnover.
I can maybe squeeze that in the pregame.
Yeah, if there's a turnover in the neutral zone, you can say blistering counterattack.
Here, I'll give it to you right now.
Okay.
If you're reviewing the tape of what went wrong in the third period for the Leafs in Vancouver.
Vancouver, the Canucks had a blistering counterattack.
William Nylander turns the puck over, and the Canucks turn it up ice in a blistering counterattack. Besser on a breakaway.
Correct.
There it is. You can slide that in.
But I kept that night in Philly. It was such a brutal, boring game. There was no blistering counterattack. There was nothing going on. And then they gave up a bunch of goals at the end.
Well, there was a half chance, and you got it in.
There was a half chance, which I squeezed it in right at the end of the first period.
Well, Ray got top bins in.
Yeah.
So Ray won himself a...
Elmer Fudd.
A great award. I mean, an Elmer Fudd. The Fudd is it's about as good as it gets in the broadcasting industry.
I agree.
Like, there's not... This is better than a sports Emmy.
Yep.
Better than a Marconi. If you get a Fudd...
It tops them all.
It tops them all. And our boy Matt Devlin, who was not originally scheduled to be on, Rod Black just didn't want to talk to us anymore. So Rod just said, I'm done, yesterday down at Scotiabank, and handed the headset over to Devlin.
Yeah.
And you asked him if he could throw a shout-out to King City, because he does that every game. If there's a three ball, he'll say, you know, from King City, Ontario, or whatever. And then you jumped in and said, throw in St. Albert.
Yeah, Alberta.
St. Albert, Alberta. And then Rod, who all of a sudden was back interested in doing the show again, said, throw in Stouffville. So he had a three-pack. Like, that's not one word, one comment. That's a three-pack of requests to win the third Elmer Fudd Award.
Correct.
And this is what went down last night, Raptors-Clippers down at Scotiabank.
Pascal jabs it, pulls up, and throws it from King. Kawhi Leonard's only visit during the regular season as OG Anunoby knocks it down from St. Albert. Siakam backing in. And Pascal in the corner. TD2 from Stouffville.
I love it. From Stouffville.
What a legend Devlin is.
He really is.
Broadcaster of the year.
Sportscaster of the year. But that means nothing compared to an Elmer Fudd. The third recipient of the Elmer Fudd Award
Impressive.
Goes to our boy Matt Devlin.
Let me hear the King City again. Let me hear the King City again, Mals.
Pascal jabs it, pulls up, and throws it from King City.
Melts my heart.
Very solid. Very, very solid. So, yeah, shout out to our boy Matt Devlin.
Well, people were tweeting us right away saying, one down. Because I think he did King City first, right?
He did King City 1, St. Albert 2, Stouffville 3.
Yeah, so they're saying 1 down, 2 down, just gave a shout-out to St. Albert.
He needed one more for the Fudd. And he hit it with Stouffville right at the end.
I would have given him a double FUD if you said St. Albert, Alberta.
I know.
People don't know where St. Albert is.
Well, it's a suburb of Edmonton, right?
Yeah, you only know that because I told you.
I'd never heard of it.
You have no idea.
I'd never heard of it.
Jerome McGinley's from there. That's, you know, it's a future Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark Messier is from there, isn't he?
Exactly.
A current Hall of Famer.
His parents lived two blocks from where I grew up.
You ever mess around with their house? What if he came out late and beat him?
You ever ride your bike and be like, maybe Mess is hanging out?
Yeah, a few times when I was younger. But honestly, this is a terrible, greasy story. Like, they used to live right by this pathway. And you ever get a cab and then run on the cab? That's the pathway. It's
that
terrible.
Was the move that every that kid the, stopped every right kid, there and
yeah,
ran through.
It, yeah.
And then the cab was trying to catch
Chases
you, but was
you
never going to find
well,
you.
We had a spot up in King City, and it
it's
was
such
just
a terrible, like, it, I look so back greasy. And that,
it's
it is.
It's so gutless. It's such a
it's
gutless
such
move.
It's such a gutless move.
You should be ashamed of yourselves, both of you.
Yeah, you had a spot.
I bet you've done 100.
No, this guy.
100.
Could you imagine
times.
If he was Griffith trying to run down?
That's why I probably wouldn't do it. I'm the first guy ever to try to run on a cab and get caught.
You never did that?
I may have dabbled.
Like, believe me, that's the
it's
point.
Not, it's not, it's a sin, and it shouldn't
happen. Get your damn act together.
Exactly.
Yeah, ours was so greasy because we were going literally Queens Quay to King City.
Oh. I was going to say, how do you get a cab up there?
That's,
it's not cabs
no,
just
no,
cruising
that,
around.
It's a Toronto night for the boys from the country. And then when you get up there, it's just like you're not getting 1 cent.
That's so gutless.
That is the worst.
It's awful.
It is greasy.
But we had a perfect little circle you pulled into and just jet across the backyards and right home.
That poor
that bastard.
He must have been
just
pulling off. Like, I know exactly what I'm watching. There's no house around here. Why are we
it's
here?
So gutless.
No, no. We would pull into a driveway, right into a circle, and say, ninja dust and goodbye.
So gutless. It is so gutless.
It is gutless.
Nowadays, though, now they've everyone you've got it down. You're on an Uber, so you prepay.
Right.
Or
yeah, of course.
Cab like they.
Yeah,
they
kids will know. I mean, that's a good thing. It shouldn't happen. Well, yeah, when you're 15, 16. I mean, it's not like anyone's doing it. I hope not as an adult.
No, you don't do it as an adult.
I mean, don't do it as a kid either. But
no,
someone texting in
nowadays.
Yeah, probably.
You hope.
Someone texting and saying, listening from St. Albert right now.
Nice.
Currently tuning in from St. Albert. I tune in every day just to hear if you're going to talk about McDavid. Okay.
Well, we do once in a while.
Every once in a while.
We get to make.
I think we may have Sean texting in here with, I think what you have to do, because to get a second Elmer Fudd.
What do I got to do here?
Who are you calling again? Leafs against who?
Buffalo. So it's the Sabres, which would be actually a pretty big game.
Let's say Carter Hutton's playing that night.
Okay.
And if Carter Hutton is getting lit up for the FUD, you've got to say, you got to steal from Keith Hernandez.
And say what?
Carter Hutton
is getting his
tits lit.
No, I'm
that's the only way you can get a FUD.
I'm not saying that. I refuse.
I think I'm on
I'm
the
actually,
panel that night. I'll fire out. Hutton is flat out getting his
the
tits
the quizmaster
right
will attack you.
I agree.
You can't say, like,
his head would explode.
We play the sound bite, but we, it's on the borderline of not being able to.
Here's
say
what we do tomorrow.
Put it that way.
Yeah, it is.
Tomorrow, we'll call up Caldwell and just ask him what kind of sayings we could mix into a hockey game. Because he's our guy, and he's the one that knows the lingo. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're right about that. I think he's
him or KJ Caldwell though. He's
we'll get Caldwell because Michael Bradley's back. He signed a 3-year deal today.
So we'll get Caldwell and say, what kind of sayings do you think are applicable to a hockey game?
All right, there you go. That's how you're going to win your second Elmer Fudd. It's not going to be easy, Noodles. We got to make
it
work
it
here.
Okay,
but if you say Carter Hutton,
yeah, there's no way.
Just play the Keith Hernandez clip.
Roark's been getting his tits
yeah,
lit.
He really has.
And then that's Gord Miller saying, yeah, he really has. Well, I guess Gord will be at the World Juniors.
Yeah.
Cuthbert.
Cuthbert.
Imagine Cuthbert. Yeah, he really has.
Roark's been getting his tits
yeah,
lit.
He really has.
I asked CC for a favor today.
Wait, you got to get a freebie? No. You got a coat that you like?
I want to see if he can record the golden goal, but with the overdrive crowd. Noodles makes the save. Al's brother gets it in the corner up to Mulls. Over to the grappler, up to Hayes, to O-Dog, scores the golden goal.
Wow.
I like that idea. We should start asking
But I think he probably thinks, like, remember the time I asked Anne Murray to do that Christmas song and she hung up on me?
Yeah,
pretty much.
She was like, why would I do that? Moles was with me, and I'm like, this is what you got to do. I'm talking to Anne Murray, and it was like, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love, 2 packs of cigarettes. And she was like, she hung up. She's like, why would you call me to ask me that?
2 packs of cigarettes.
Remember? What was it?
I remember. Yeah,
it was like the 12 days of Overdrive
or whatever, or the lunch, maybe. We had Atlanta Miles on.
We
got to
find
too.
That song. Do we still have it? We got to play that.
Do you remember when we had Atlanta Miles on and we started singing Black Velvet?
And she said that was garbage.
Yeah, she flat out said it was garbage.
We got to get her back on, man. We got to get Atlanta Miles back on.
Black Velvet?
She was a friend of the show.
Makes your ears
I guarantee you Moles is going to find that soundbite.
Okay, go back and find as much as you can.
Atlanta Miles, and it was you trying to sing Black
Velvet.
Yeah,
I was like, Black Velvet. And she's like, that is god-awful.
Yeah, she was disgusted. Disgusted.
But she admitted that people butcher her song.
But well, maybe CC, if he likes the show, he'll recreate the golden goal for us tomorrow.
Know. Okay. Well, maybe Devlin. He's a FUD winner. He's in the crew now. We'll see if he can. Maybe the shot by Kawhi instead of Kawhi.
Al's brother to the corner launches it. Boom, boom, boom. Makes it.
There you go. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider in studio at 6:25. Our buddy Jabari Greer coming up in the 6 p.m. hour as well. Get his take on the game tonight. Won't be much of a game. The Ravens at home, 16.5-point favorites over the New York Jets. That is a monster spread.
It's a monster number, but do you think it's a lock to cover?
No, I'm leaning towards New York, like a backdoor cover, keep it close. Right. And I think Baltimore, you're just trying to stay healthy. It's a short week.
Right.
You probably know you're going to win the game. You know you're going to win the division. If they win tonight, they clinch the AFC North. But they're trying to stay on top of as the number one seed in the AFC, which is important.
But if you clinch, then you can probably take your foot off the gas, no?
They're going to do that. I saw a report today, I think Mike Garofalo of NFL Network reporting that if they have secured the top spot in the AFC North in week 17, I think they play Pittsburgh, they're going to sit Lamar Jackson. They've already made that decision. But you know, until they clinch it, we talked about it earlier. Coaches are freaks, man. They always think about the worst case scenario. They don't think.
But that's their job. Their job security is a lot different than a general manager, than you know, scouts in the system. It's win or you're out. We're going to find somebody, and I don't think it's ever been more of a win or we're going to move on to the next guy, society and pro sports, than it has been in today's world, in the last, let's say, 5 years.
Yep, it's so easy. Because there have been examples of new coaches coming in and just taking off.
Right.
Taking off. But there is something to kind of sticking through the storm, right?
Yeah.
Like Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh is a great example. This time last year, he was taking a lot of heat.
Right.
Everyone was hating on him. Now he might be the best coach in football this year with what he's been able to do.
Right.
Jabari Greer, Darren Dreger in studio in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.